One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Happening, y'all, and thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives. That's right, it's me, it's the Cimarron, it's Cam Hale, and of course, as always, in studio with me, King of the Thunderstorms over, Mr. Kyle Filio Filson.
How's it going, everybody? I'm here in studio, beautiful Skeleton Studios. Yes, if you hear any odd sounds in the background, possibly could be thunder. It is pouring rain right now.
It is getting it right now. It is rumbling, bumbling. He could go all the way.
Hey, look, I'm not going to complain. The only thing I complain about is the cancellation of baseball tournaments.
This isn't true.
We need the rain. I mean,
this isn't the only thing he complains about, folks.
And we're almost into June, and it's still pretty cool around here.
I'm okay with it.
Like a week ago, it was like 50.
Yeah.
Just like that cold front came through. It was
last Friday?
Yeah, that's what
it was. Last Friday. Yeah. Yeah, it was chilly. It was nice.
It was really nice. I'm enjoying the spring.
Yeah.
We got big plans coming up for Memorial Day weekend. We're heading down to Galveston and to spend a week at the beach house.
I want happy birthday to the Brood.
Yep. They are turning 12. Whew. I cannot believe how fast time has gone by. They'll be driving a car in 4 years.
That's terrifying.
But they're completely delusional. Jacob, for instance, thinks that I'm buying him a GT500 Shelby Cobra.
Nice. Can you 16? Buy me one while you're doing yeah. that?
I'm like, what in the world? Do you think I'm going to drive a Ford Fusion and then you're going to get a GT500 Shelby Cobra?
That's right.
I was like, does that make any sense?
What's Caleb want?
A Corvette. And I'm like, look, first of all, you couldn't afford the insurance on that thing. I'm like, you're going to get like a 1991 Delta 88.
Yes.
Like a beater. And you're going to both share it. And if you don't like it, go get a job.
With no air conditioner.
Yeah,
y'all
no,
get no AC out here.
Nah.
Time to toughen up, boys. Time to toughen up.
Maybe I'll get them a moped.
You know what? That might be all right, but get them both Honda Sprees.
Yeah, like just a little Vespa.
Can't they start driving those here in Texas when they're 14?
I think those little things like that, you can, yeah.
We ought to get one. That's what we ought to do. You and I both ought to get one. We ought to get Monty. We ought to get a bunch of buddies of ours to get them, and we make like a biker gang, but the only way you can do is ride around on a scooter.
I don't want the Vespa, though. I like the little tiny, like they go fast, but it looks like a miniature bike. Like a miniature
like a
dirt bike.
Bikes.
Yeah, looks. Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah, that's what we ought to get.
Those are pretty cool.
We ought to get one of those.
Heck yeah.
And we could just putt around town. Like, what are they, like a 70cc or something? They're not very big.
I don't know. I think, yeah, they're probably like a 125.
And they got little blinkers and everything
on
them.
Yeah,
dude, let's look into getting one of those.
I know there's a guy at our house that rides a motorcycle, and every time that dude sees the kids like out in the front yard,
does he stand it up?
He'll ride a wheelie all the way by every time, and they just love it. So they hear that motorcycle coming,
they get all excited.
They run outside because they know he's coming, and he just does it every time. So they love that. But yeah, if you follow me on Instagram, I recently posted some pictures.
Oh, he's getting carried away.
Jacob playing baseball. And the pictures, you know, I've been getting comments on them and stuff. And I finally learned something because I like to dabble in photography sometimes because why not? If you're thinking of getting into photography, don't concern yourself too much about the camera bodies. If I could tell you anything, it's the glass. The lenses is what you need to spend the money on. I've tried multiple bodies and multiple lenses and combinations of the two. And you can take a pretty lower end DSLR camera, and if you put an expensive piece of glass on there, mm-hmm. you're going to get really good results. Now, I don't have the money to, I have the money, but I don't think my wife would let me spend it on the lens I want. But there is an interesting service called borrowlenses.com. And if you go in there, you can rent high dollar lenses. So I rented a 70 by 200 millimeter lens, and it's about $2,100 brand new. But, you know, for about $70, I knew I was going to this baseball tournament. I knew the weather looked pretty good, so I rented it, and it shipped right to me, and I was able to capture a ton of photos. Like I said, I've got a lot of editing to do, but it's a pretty good service. You know, have the money to invest in a camera, or if you're going on a trip.
Or it's also a good way to try the lenses. Try all the different lenses out for a little bit before you know.
Yeah, then buy a used one. Yeah, I mean, it's a bunch of glass. As long as it's not cracked or damaged in any way. I mean, a piece
as long
of
as you didn't get drunk, knock it over on your tripod, you're good.
Yeah, no. It should last for years and years and years and years. So, and it also helps to have Lightroom. You know, that definitely gives you, if you shoot raw, you can fix any of your problems.
You shoot raw?
Yeah.
I shoot raw.
Because, I mean, I'm not good enough yet. I'm not perfect with the photographic triangle. So I underexposed, overexposed.
Oh, mistakes. Yeah.
As long as you're shooting raw and you got Lightroom, I'm such an idiot.
My histogram looks like it ought to be like an Excite Bike.
Yeah. We've been using Adobe products for like four years.
Here we go.
So like I have all the stuff, but a lot of it I don't ever use. Like I don't use Premiere very much mm-hmm. because I'm not editing video very much. I don't use Illustrator or some of the InDesign, other products. I use mostly Audition because of the podcast.
Yeah.
And I do use Photoshop from time to time and Lightroom. So I didn't know until a week ago that there's two versions of Lightroom. I didn't know that. I had the app on my phone. It just never dawned on me that that was a different version. So if you know what I'm talking about, there's Lightroom Classic, and then there's Lightroom CC. I had no idea. So I bought these presets from a guy I follow on YouTube. Shout out to Jared Poland. And these were presets for Lightroom. And I thought, those would be cool when I go shoot the baseball tournament this weekend. I could use some of them to get some cool. Yeah. And it was like $30 whatever. So I bought it, downloaded it, followed the instructions.
Couldn't install.
It would not install in Lightroom. I'm like, okay. First off, anytime there's a problem with a computer or anything like that, 99.9% of the time, it's me. It's user error. I'm an idiot. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not working properly. It's me. I instantly go there, and I was 100% correct. Anyway, so I tried, and I started watching videos on Lightroom. I sat there for 2 hours trying to get these presets installed. Wouldn't work. So finally, I'm like, well, I'm just going to email them. Then figure out, and even in my email, I said, hey, look, I just bought this. I can't get it to load.
I'm a dummy.
I said, I'm an idiot. It's 100% me. I know it's me. I'm not knocking your product.
I just can't figure it out.
Could you possibly send me some tips on what I'm doing wrong? He goes, well, he replied back pretty quickly, like within 5 minutes. He's like, are you loading it into CC or are you trying to put it in Classic? Instantly, I'm like, what's he talking about?
Right then it rang. You're like, then oh,
I go look online. Ding, ding, ding. Yep. There's two versions. So I go look at my Creative Cloud and has all the apps that Adobe offers, right?
Yep.
Sure enough, there's a different Lightroom in there. So I download that.
Presets
installed
right in.
Perfectly, instantaneously.
You messaged him
back. I had
no
idea. Oh, yeah. I messaged him back. I'm like, oh, thanks, man. It worked great. That was it. I just left it at that. It's painfully obvious.
Yeah, you're like.
But I told him up front it was.
I'm so stupid. Sorry.
Yeah. So the classic version has more technical stuff on it, a lot more stuff you can do with it. But it's only on that on that computer.
Yeah.
Where the CC is like in a cloud. So if I edit it on the computer, if I pull up my smartphone, the edited photo is already on there.
Yeah. For what is it? CC Creative Cloud. Yeah.
Yeah. Creative Cloud. Yeah.
That's it.
So that's what I've been dealing with. It's just been silly.
Every time you start something fun and new, you're just like, oh man, here we go.
I have no clue for years. I had no clue. That's
the most fun.
Yeah.
Is we need
what have you been up to, man?
Dude, just working. Just that's about it. Not a whole lot. Planting flowers with my wife. Just living old man life, man. I'm not doing much anything crazy.
Are you still creating your succulent garden?
I'm working on it. Yeah, I'm working on it. I want to make it. It's probably going to end up being my biggest fear is because they're not cheap. So you got to ease your way into the succulents.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, it's going to be large by the time I'm done. When I say large, I mean like 4 foot by 6 foot area that I'm going to end up into it.
That's so pretty cool.
Yeah, it'll be, I hope it turns out the way I have it pictured in my mind and the way I'm easing into it. I hope it turns out like that. But other than that, dude, I haven't been doing anything.
What about those mushrooms you've been growing?
I wish. Yeah.
Don't you keep them like
you know what I wish? I wish I knew how to go out and pick, like, what are they called? Sorrels or sorrels?
Yeah.
I would like to know because I'm sure I could go to the woods and pick a mushroom and die within 15 minutes.
No, you need to get you a book on, like,
I need to take a class.
Flora.
Yeah.
And which ones are not. Yeah, because some of them are poisonous.
Yeah, I need to take a class. Because, I mean, I see all these guys online going out and collecting mushrooms. Like, that would be fun, you know, to run around and do that. But I would have no idea. Like, I can tell you that's a mushroom.
Yeah.
That's about what I know. What's that? A mushroom? That's some sort of
fungus. What's the
difference
between a mushroom and a toadstool?
I think it's just I'm assuming. I don't know. Maybe one's flatter than I. Like I said, I don't know. I can tell you it's a fungus. Let me rephrase. That's a fungus. That's all I can tell you. That's a fungus.
There's fungus among us.
Yeah, that's a fungus.
Yeah.
That's what I can tell you. I tell you what. I got you something here.
Okay.
We'll jump into some wild news stories. I got you some little fun here. A fella named Mark Ward was talking about this. And Lon had shared this, and this is actually extremely interesting, and you're going to like this. Took place recently. It says, I think I may have seen one in the middle of the night just south of Amarillo, Texas. And
seen
when he
one.
Says seen one, what he's talking about, folks, is a pterosaur.
What?
A pterosaur just south of Amarillo.
Oh, please tell me more.
Driving down I-27 about 1 a.m. headed for Plainview. Now, folks, if you haven't been to Amarillo, like we always say, this is what you need to picture. Flat land. You need to picture like a, what's the best thing to tell you? A billiards table covered in sand and dust. That's
with
pretty much
oil
it.
Oil derricks everywhere.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So when you hear like the town, even Plainview, that's what you get when you're in Plainview, is a very plain view. Like it literally that part of Texas.
The name, yeah, they didn't put a lot of work in the town's names. And the other what's that? Level Land.
That's out near Lubbock.
Yeah,
you go up to Lubbock, it's the same thing. Level Land is the name, and that's exactly what it is. Level Land.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
You could think I'm gonna drive over to that place right there, and you could be driving for 3 hours. It looks like it ain't getting any. I mean, it's ridiculous.
That'd be a good place to do some flat Earth experiments because you could measure the curvature of the Earth. It's so flat. Don't
yeah.
you think?
Oh yeah, that would be it's kind of like I guess the salt flats.
Oh, I just watched a documentary on that. It was on Netflix. What was it called?
Beyond the Curve.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Beyond the Curve.
Because you're a flat Earth lover.
No. I just think it's funny to watch them argue. But in the movie, in the documentary, spoiler alert, they're trying to do this experiment in this canal.
Before you even start it, spoiler alert, the world's round.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And their experiment fails. I mean, I don't know. It's funny how they just pick which experiments they want to use.
So that's,
anyways, carry on.
That would be a good spot to do something. Because it really is. It's vast and flat up there. But anyway, he says that he's heading for Plainview around 1 in the morning, Mark was. And he said, and all of a sudden, something flew right across the grill in the front of his 18-wheeler. He said, it startled me. He said, if I'd have been any closer, I probably would have hit it. But he said this, it was bluish gray in color. And I got a good look at the wing. He said, it didn't have feathers. I saw skin with bone underneath. He says it was too big to be a bat, and with echolocation, he said no bat would just fly in front of my truck. He said the best estimate is that from the leading edge to the trailing edge, the wing was a little over a foot wide. He said it wasn't a bird and it wasn't a bat. So he goes, I'm thinking it had to be a pterosaur. Now look. The idea of that is, first of all, I don't know whether you would even have one live if there was one out there.
Yeah, it's not like there's caves or caverns or
unless
anything.
It digs a hole in the dirt and hides out there, you're not going to find one, you know, something like that. My question is this. Could the blurring motion in the morning, 1 a.m., in the headlights, could it have been a turkey? Could it have been a buzzard? Could it have been any large bird in the blur that gave it the appearance? Because with a turkey's wings, with it being, they're being barred, the colors of barred colors, the blurring sensation might give you the idea that you saw bone.
Right.
You know, that you would think, oh, because if it flew by, when I say flew by, I'm thinking the snap of a finger. You know, when a bird flies in front of your car, you don't just get to know everything. Like, oh, God. Especially if you don't see it coming. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
it's one thing
saying.
If you see, like, we've all had those birds when you're driving down the road, in, like in a little city towns or whatnot, driving, you know, going to your house, whatever it is. They're dipping in front of the road. You can see them coming. They dip in front of you. You're like, oh, yeah, I see that. In the dark, when one blasts by you.
Yeah, I'm with.
You would think that you might think it's a bird, and you might think it's something else. I'm just saying that.
A pterodactyl, though?
A pterosaur with the wing is a foot wide. Now, he's not saying lengthwise. He's saying from leading edge to trailing edge is 12 inches. Well, that's not really. Bats have foot wide wings.
Absolutely.
I mean, could it have been a bat? Yeah, could have been. I mean, it could have been anything, but it just doesn't sound like a tried and true pterosaur sighting, especially knowing where that's at.
Yeah.
Where he's coming from. But right with that, I've got something else I'm going to share with you. Because this was something that caught my eye, and I thought about you, Philly. The guy posted this, name's C. Beeve. C. Beeve, love the name.
The Beeve.
The Beeve, talks about a black stick man.
Oh, I like those. I like the sightings of those.
Says, before I heard about this phenomenon, this was before the internet, a coworker of mine said he was driving on a rural road in Cleveland County, North Carolina, in the mid-90s. And at about 45 miles an hour, he said a black stick man came gliding next to him and was about 7 feet tall.
What?
Yeah, running along beside the car. Said he went home and got his wife, and they went back and found the stick figure standing near a tree line. Says everybody at work ridiculed him, except for me. When he told the story, I didn't. He said it shocked me to hear. This is a real phenomena, and the close similarity of all the eyewitnesses, what they report, and especially the gliding part, by the way they move.
Mm-hmm.
So this fella back in the 90s had one glide past him at 45 miles an hour. And, of course, look at the cojones on this fella. He goes and gets his wife, and they both come back.
But I guess he probably did that because he wanted someone else to see what he was seeing so that they wouldn't think he was crazy.
Or he hates his wife, and he's hoping the stick man will take her.
That's true.
I mean 50-50. That's the whole deal. But at least I like the fact, like we talk about, when you start finding these stories and these tales that come out on the internet, and then you start getting, like we've talked about, people coming forward going, oh, I saw that way before this, you know, or way before, which makes you start wondering. Are they telling a lie, or was there some validity to it before it made its way online?
Right, yeah. Well, speaking of seeing things, and seeing is believing, over there on Phantoms and Monsters, Lon posted this pretty interesting story where the guy claims that he saw a Bigfoot. He says, they do exist, Cam. 29 Word. Months ago, I did not believe in Bigfoot, despite having owned hunting property in Perry County, Ohio, which is the alleged home of the famous Sasquatch known as the Grassman. And despite living for over three decades in Bigfoot Central in the Pacific Northwest, 28 months ago, however, I saw my first Bigfoot. Now I've seen them on six occasions to date. There is no question but that they do exist. Scoff all you want, your doubts do not affect my reality. But here's the thing. 48 years ago, in 1971, in Central Michigan, I had a rather scary, if inconclusive, experience with what I suspect was, what was called then, the Michigan Monster, an animal now more commonly known as the Dogman. I've now come across several individuals locally whose experiences I have every reason to credit, who claim to have run across just such a creature out here, one of whom I saw at a very close range for several minutes, plenty of time to get a good look at it. Much as I do not want to believe in such a thing, given the shock to my skepticism which Bigfoot brought, I don't feel like I can blindly deny that there may be other things out there. There are certainly enough tales out here about them, independent of witnesses whom I personally know. to raise the real possibility that there are some such creatures in these woods. The featured story reek of truthfulness to me. This is almost exactly what one might well expect. Nothing about it is inconsistent with what we know or inconsistent with potential reality. There's no evidence of hype or BS in the tale. So whether or not I wish to believe in these things, I've determined to behave in a fashion consistent with the possibility that these things are out there. I never go out unarmed or alone and have never gotten a bigger gun. It may be all a case of mistaken identity or self-inflicted fright, but if it's real, well, I do not wish to be at its mercy. It's not going to happen. It wouldn't be prudent. I know what I saw, and I saw a Bigfoot. So they do. If you have any questions, Cam, this person claims they do exist. Now, here's what I'll say. He doesn't give a lot of detail or any about the circumstances surrounding his sighting, other than he was skeptical and now he's a believer.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to lay that out in that way.
He didn't really lace the details of what made him a believer.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, I want to hear the story.
Yeah.
Where's the story? Just that, oh, I know. I saw. I know it.
You're like, what did you see?
Yeah. I mean, like.
Well, I know what I saw. Okay.
Just like the last guy. That guy believes he saw a pterodactyl.
Because I see stuff all the time. I always think I see something. I'm like, nah, I didn't see that. And I don't mean creatures. I'm talking like stuff at work. Did I move that? Nah, I probably did. And that's because I'm an idiot.
Right. Seeing's believing. I think you're right, though. Like, say you come home from work and something's fallen over. Would your mind immediately go, oh, I got a poltergeist. That's what did that. Or could it have been a gust of wind? Well, I think if you're looking for paranormal things, you'll start seeing it. Just like you talked about, say you get interested in something like a hobby or you purchase a particular type of sunglasses or something. Mm-hmm. And then as you're walking around, now that you're like thinking about it, you start noticing more people wearing the same ones. Mm-hmm. It's because no more people are doing it. It's just you weren't thinking about it. So if you're thinking about Sasquatch all the time and you go into the woods and you're scared because he talks about always being armed, you see something scary or you think you do, your mind instantly goes to Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I don't know. I don't really care for the stories where people claim that they have proof, but then they don't really offer up any, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, because we like stories.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, and also like you're talking about, you know what you saw. I always think back of, what is it? They've always done tests on people in stressful situations where they're like, and I think I've talked about it before, where they can't even tell you the color of the person's shirt that may have robbed the store.
Yeah, eyewitness accounts are not reliable at all. Yeah.
I mean, we deal with them all the time. We just, because that's the only stories that you get are eyewitness accounts. And it's fun to put yourself in their position. That's what makes eyewitness accounts so much fun to discuss on this show or any podcast or any show, period, that deals with the strange and unusual. But we know that it's a flawed system. But yet, for some reason, we still accept it. We still are like, well, that's what's going down, but we know it's flawed. Mm. I have an account for you. Now that you're going to be talking about Bigfoot, here you go. This, of course, comes from our friends over at Cryptozoology News.
Yes.
It says, Pennsylvania children encounter a Bigfoot. Zed apparently isn't dead, baby. Zed said this past Friday that he was walking near a dairy farm with his uncle and a few cousins back in 1972, right after Hurricane Agnes, and they saw an unusual creature. He says this, I was 11. We came to a clearing that led down to an area of a BS encampment. We were about 150 yards from a sign that stood about 10 foot off the ground when we saw something, or something passing rather in front of that sign. Now, what Zed goes on to describe was an animal about 8 feet tall. Hmm. He says that it was dark and huge. If it was a Bigfoot, we saw one. If there's not those such or no such things, then I don't know what we saw, is what Zed said, which I at least like the way he puts that.
Yeah, I give him credit. Yeah.
From 72 till now, he still tells, look, if Bigfoot's real, then that's what we saw.
If not.
But if not, I don't know what that could have been.
That's a great answer, though.
Right? Is he's like, because he's not saying Bigfoot's real.
No.
He's the exact opposite of the other guy.
He's exactly
the opposite. I saw something. I don't know what the hell it was, and I still don't know what it is.
I like that. I like that answer much better. I hate people that are like, they're always 100% about something where I'm like, I don't think I'm 100% on anything.
But even if you had an encounter where you saw a Bigfoot clear as day at 20 yards,
I would still say,
you would still be like, I don't know what I saw. It had the appearance of a Bigfoot, but we don't even know if those are real or not. Like, I don't know what I saw.
Yeah.
Because you don't.
No.
How do you know it's a Bigfoot? Maybe it's a Littlefoot. Maybe it's another species. Because you don't know. We don't know if they're there. But here's another one from Cryptozoology News about two people that come upon a Bigfoot family in Washington.
Okay. Yeah. Lay it on us.
Says a father and son said that they saw a group of bipeds in Whatcom County. And the eyewitnesses were reported driving in the area at 9 p.m. this past September, okay?
Okay.
When they noticed these creatures. Says, my father and I went for a drive up the mountain to stop at this clear cut like we've done 100 times before this, okay? Says, we're scanning the clear cut with our flashlights, and we saw some eye shine at about 200 yards. Says, the man goes on to say that they detected three pairs of eyes leveled at different heights. Says, at first, they thought they were looking at a mama bear and her cubs. He goes on to say, but after shining the flashlights in their direction, the larger creature charged up the hill grunting. Then it stopped and waited for the other two. Says, the witness goes on to explain that they were able to focus their flashlights on that creature and they could better observe it. And this is what they said. It was brown and the eye shine was very orangish. And then it started charging towards us, breaking branches on its way. Then it just stopped and everything went silent. He says the other two were just sitting there watching us. Says sometimes they'd stand up and walk a bit, but every time we made a noise, they'd stop and watch us. And this went on for 3 hours. Says it was around midnight when the bigger creature reportedly decided to start walking down the hill. It was on two legs, arms swinging below the hips. We're guessing about 700 pounds.
What?
Said the other two followed it. And there are not brown bears in this area. Now, the man said it was difficult to estimate the height at the given distance. Said you could just see the head bob just up and down like when a person's walking downhill.
Here's,
and that's what they noticed.
I'm negative Nancy today. I'm going to have to.
Call a little BS on that one too, aren't you?
This one too. And, and this is why. This is my thinking.
Because it's at night with flashlights?
Well, that's part of it, but that's not the reason. If Sasquatch is a real thing, and it's like a devolved human almost, something that split off the tree, right, between us and the primates, what immediately stands out to me is the eye shine. Well, pigs don't have eye shine. Mm-hmm. Humans don't have eye shine. Mm-hmm. Monkeys don't have eye shine. I don't believe that if Sasquatch is real, I don't believe that it would have eye shine. It just doesn't make sense to me why it would. So if they're seeing eyes shine, I would assume it's probably a bear.
Well, and I'm with you on that whole deal. It's like we know how bright a bobcat's eyes and a coyote's eyes shine. Like they shine. We know dog man. People talk about eyes shine with the dogs or whatnot. So it does always make you wonder is...
I don't know why I'm calling BS on everything.
If it's part of the human genome that we know,
or primate,
it shouldn't have eye shine.
Nope, no primates do.
Yeah,
their eyes are like ours.
Exactly. So I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know. All those stories, when you start really breaking it down to what we know scientifically,
and I've heard the stories where Bigfoot had glowing red eyes. You've heard that too.
Yes.
But is that something because in movies they make monsters have glowing red eyes? You know what I'm saying?
That's it as well.
I think. I don't know, but I'm not going to try to be negative all day, but it's about time for a break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking about some scary experiences people had while fishing. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
This podcast is sponsored by iQBAR. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Cam, it's spring. Spring's finally here. The fish are biting. And I know you're a big angler and you like to fish. You were just talking to me the other day about getting your kayak out and exploring some fishing. I heard the striper are running around here.
We're getting ready, yeah.
I was just talking to my brother-in-law yesterday about striper fishing, and he said that they've been hitting over there in Lake Granbury and that I need to bring the boys out. And Caleb just recently got some new fishing stuff for his birthday. So in the spirit of that, I was thinking about you actually the other day when I was driving around thinking about you going fishing.
Oh, that's sweet.
And your fear of sharks and things, because you had told me a story of a fellow that we both know who was using his kayak to paddle the bait. They were shore fishing, right off the beach. And do you want to tell that story or do you want me to recap
it? Well, a good friend of mine that I've hunted with and shot archery with for years. Yeah. Was using like some cut up parts of a stingray, I believe is what it was.
Like one of those cow nose stingrays for bait.
For bait, and was paddling it way out. And they've been fishing. Yeah, they've been fishing all evening. And I'm sure there was some drinking involved and all this stuff. So he's paddling this little 10 footer, all right, little 10 foot kayak. One of those little cheap John Walmart jobs, right? So it's little. And you really want a larger kayak. There's a lot of rules of thumb to follow before you put a certain yak in the salt water around the waves. But anyhow, he jumps in, throws the ray. It's already hooked up, you know, and all this stuff for bait. And there's no storage in the back. So it's laying in his lap as he's paddling out in the dark.
And bleeding.
And there's blood everywhere and the headlamps on. And anyway, the waves are breaking pretty good and he ends up getting flipped. And he said it goes over backwards and that bloody ray lands on his chest as he goes under the water and he's already covered in blood. And all he can think about is being attacked by a shark. He's he said, I'm screaming. I'm just for all he's worth, he's just in panic mode. And he's telling me the story. He told me this story several years ago, but as he's telling me, I get panicky thinking about it. Like first of all, I wouldn't be in that position. I wouldn't even put myself in that position. But
I'm not going to front. I mean, got flipped over in the ocean with a bloody anything, yeah, I would be nervous.
Well, first of all, I'm not coming to help you. Let's go ahead and get that squared away. If that happens and y'all are fishing with me, don't look to me for help. I will go tell your loved ones where the last place I saw you.
I know what happened.
But
yeah.
That's it. That's all you're getting out of me.
So you were telling me that story, and when I got off the phone with you, I was, you know, just driving, I was thinking about it, kind of laughing to myself, also realizing, golly, that would be terrifying. And I started to think about, what about strange and unusual events, you know, that have happened to other anglers and guys and girls who maybe have witnessed something strange while they were out fishing. So when I got home, I got on the interwebs, and I started doing some research, and I found some very interesting stories. So let's get into this first story. Now, this first one took place a few years ago in a place called East Beach in Rhode Island. Now, this person, they were out fishing with their father, and they actually witnessed what they thought was a ghostly apparition of a wrecker. Now, if you're not familiar with a wrecker, I wasn't either. This is kind of like a pirate. Like, they were thieves, right? These were bandits who used to trick ships into crashing into shore by using their lanterns to lure them in. Like, they would they would think they had more room. Like they thought maybe it was a distant lighthouse, and it wasn't.
I got you. Like run it way up on top of the mast and make it look like.
And the ships would beach themselves, and then they would board the ships, kill everybody inside, and loot the thing. Right? They would steal all the valuable contents that were on the ship. Anyway, so as the story goes, the guy says this. He says, "I was fishing with my father, and as we got down to the beach, we saw some old, odd-looking drag marks in the sand. After about a half hour of casting, we made our way back to the truck, and as we hit the parking lot, our German Shepherd started acting really weird. Normally, the dog barks and is very aggressive. This time, it was the opposite. The German Shepherd looked like it was troubled. It looked scared, tail between the legs, whining and whimpering a little bit. I knew something was up. So, as we were loading up the truck with our gear, we saw a light coming out of the dunes. Well, we thought probably was just another fisherman. And as we got a better look, we saw it look like an old 17th or 18th century looking lantern. Then we saw two more lights. And all of a sudden, four people walked out, and they were all wearing colonial looking clothes. At that point, we just threw everything in the truck, picked up our now growling dog, and blasted out of there. As we pulled out, our lights went right over the people, and we saw they were indeed wearing ratty-looking colonial-style clothes. It really freaked us out. So, was that a ghost sighting, or was it more like a time slip? Like, all of a sudden, they were out there on the beach, and these... I mean, or was it just cosplay? Five or six people dressed like colonial people walking around with 18th century looking lanterns, right?
No.
I mean, you wouldn't think it was possible, but I mean, that's crazy, right? You like those stories where it's kind of like a time slip, where for whatever reason, something is being replayed that happened a long time ago.
It's almost like they're caught in that loop, like they can't get out of it.
Yeah.
Like to them, it may have only been a few minutes they've been stranded. But in reality, they've been there for several hundred years.
Yeah, and I wonder if, you know, there's certain places on the world where, like, something traumatic happens, something terrible happens, a murder happens, and then whatever, that house that's left after is always haunted, and they can even raise that house and build a new structure in its place, but that area will still be haunted. Or you talk about people building over, like, Native American burial sites and those places. It's like something happens, and it's always there. So I wonder if... what they saw was, like you were saying, a replay of an event that took place on that very spot on that beach all those years ago.
I think so.
And that's like a memory, almost like that place has a memory.
Or maybe just that area has some sort of.
Maybe it was Bagger Vance and he went down there and got his golf ball. And right. You remember that?
That's still a cool show.
And he had the old looking clothes. Remember Will Smith?
Yes. That's still a cool thing, man. I love the idea.
Isn't that the name of it, Bagger Vance?
Yeah, the Legend of Bagger Vance.
Yeah, where he's like, it's like God comes down and helps him with his putts. And
yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. I mean, I don't know. But look, I found another encounter. This one also from Rhode Island. Now, seems like a lot of odd stuff happening in a very tiny place. I mean, there's ranches in Parker County bigger than Rhode Island. This one says, my buddy and I were fishing at a certain fort in Jamestown, Rhode Island, one night. We were soaking some bait, and at one point, my buddy decided to walk to the boat dock about 50 yards away. The whole walk there, he said he sensed someone was behind him. He said he even heard footsteps. He would walk, he would hear the footsteps, and he would stop, and then they would stop. He would pick up again, walking, he would hear them again, he would stop, and a few seconds, the footsteps would stop again. He thought it was me that was walking with him, playing some kind of prank on him. But he said when he turned around, no one was there. He said it creeped him out pretty bad, and he never went back to that spot with me. Now, flash forward to the next summer. I decided to go fish this spot by myself, the same spot. Now, I had completely forgotten about my friend's experience until I got to the dock, and I unloaded everything and started to soak some more bait. It was a clear, moonless night. There was no wind, not any breeze of any kind. It creeped him out. About a half hour into watching my rod, I started to smell some perfume around me. I thought it was pretty weird since I was the only one there, but I clearly smelt the sweet smell of perfume. The smell kept getting stronger and stronger, so I walked about 10 feet to my right and the smell disappeared. I walked back to my original spot and the perfume smell was still there, this time stronger than ever. It was so strong at one point that my nose started to burn, and at that point I said, "Where the hell is the smell coming from?" Soon after I said that, the smell disappeared. That's when I packed up and left. I've never been back to that spot. So what do you think? Was it like a ghost?
Well,
I mean, you've heard many tales.
Well, we've talked about it whenever they were in hotels, haunted hotels where they would smell tobacco smoke.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Would smell different perfumes.
People recognize a particular perfume that their grandmother used to wear.
Yeah.
Now she's expired, and they smell that, and they feel like calm, like my grandmother's in the room.
But you're not going to find that outdoors.
Outdoors.
It doesn't happen that way.
So once again, did something tragic happen in that spot some time ago? And for whatever reason, the ghost of this woman, or I guess it could be a man wearing perfume, still lingers from time to time. I don't know. Creepy.
Yeah. Well,
let's move on.
I'm thinking that, like, even with, like, it's not going to be flowers. There's not going to, like, if you realize, like, I understand if you're going to have, like, what am I trying to think of? Like a lavender smell.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, there's going to be certain smells that you're going to.
Lilies or something. Yeah.
That you could, but it being strong enough and then you knowing. And
overpowering the bait he's soaking.
Yeah. That's strange. That's really strange.
You know, you smell the salt water, the bait. He's watching his fishing pole or his rod.
You used to fish so much with live bait when we were younger that you were known as the master baiter. I remember that.
Yeah. Let's move on. When I was looking at some of these stories, there seems to be a lot of paranormal happenings in and around lakes. Lots of these common experiences are the feeling of being watched or anomalous noises or even voices, perfume. Sometimes there are actual sightings of ghosts and shadow people or other strange apparitions. Lots of times glowing balls or orbs of light are seen around the water. Of course, the famous swamp gas. You know, people are always bringing up, oh, you didn't see a UFO. It was swamp gas. I don't know how swamp gas looks like a flying disc. But but now this strange account, this next one, actually took place across the pond over in England in a location known as Gosfield Park Lake. And apparently there was a group out fishing for carp at night when they had a run-in with the paranormal. Now, the story goes that while they were out fishing, it was a warm spring night, they were suddenly hit with a cold gust of wind, seemingly out of nowhere, and several of the witnesses claimed that they were overcome with a feeling of sadness or despair. Something didn't feel right. They claimed, as darkness began to fall, a little light but cold breeze sprang up from nowhere. Just chilly enough to make you lift the collar of your shirt and shrug your shoulders and shake. Even more strange was that it seemed to come from a dense wooded area which kissed the edge of the lake and ran back up the hill to where the hall once stood. We became aware, all at once, of a great presence descending around us. Hard to describe, it just felt heavy, dark, and very sad. Now the three of us were well-seasoned anglers, spending much of our time fishing after dark, and oftentimes alone. This was something else, something we had never experienced before or since, thank God. "I think I'll call it a night," I said. "Feels like a storm is coming," I told my friends, and the others agreed and said we would stop for a pint on the way home. That's when it happened. From out of nowhere, a scream rang out, a scream so loud that you couldn't think straight. We froze to the spot and reached for our torches, or flashlights in America. They didn't work. Three torches and not a glimmer between them. The scream turned into a creepy wail, still loud, and one long note drowning our voices as we tried to speak. We knew what each other were saying, and within a minute, all tackle was retrieved. line bitten through, stuffed and grabbed, and we stumbled our way along the field bank towards the iron bridge, the old driveway, and the sanctuary of the car. The whale followed our every footstep, growing neither louder nor quieter. Ted was the first to reach the bridge, and as he set foot on it, he fell silent, very silent, painfully silent. I reached for my torch, and yes, this time it worked. So did all the others. We looked at each other in disbelief, but dared not to utter a word. I mean, what could be said? And if we spoke, would the screaming start again? So we just looked, then continued on the long walk to the car. How many times I looked over my shoulder? Well, I would be guessing, but it was a lot. And the same went for the other two. We didn't stop at the pub. We drove straight home. In silence. In fact, it was more than a week before we spoke about it, and then when we did, only for a minute. To this day, me and my friends don't know what we experienced, but we don't believe it was a woman screaming. I can't really fully comprehend or explain how to describe the sound of it, but it was loud, and it was wailing, and it was creepy, and all three of us heard it. What do you think of that?
I've actually heard, you remember the time that I was talking about the Native American ghost that they saw down there on the Pins, the Padre Island National Shore.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was just the Texas ghost stories. Yeah.
You remember the one about the rattling chains and the screaming and the wailing that came up all around the guy, the whole thing, right? The whole deal was going on that way. This isn't the only time I've actually heard people fishing reported hearing wailing and crying.
Yeah, that, I mean.
At different lakes, just here in Texas. I've heard it come from, so it always makes you wonder, what is it? But I've heard it come from a lot of people talking about the things that they've heard while fishing, and there's a lot of, like, wailing and crying goes on.
Some of the stories, like we've talked about it before, I don't remember the Japanese cryptid that makes noises like, it sounds like a baby, tries to lure you into the surf. Yeah. You mentioned it on a show not too long ago where also once it gets it out there, it pulls your innards out of your anus.
Yeah, drags it right out of your anus.
But this doesn't sound like whatever this was luring them. This was like screaming at them. And they said it was so loud that they couldn't talk to each other hardly. Painfully loud.
Yeah, see, that's not.
That's just creepy.
Yeah, that's not like what you would.
But you're 100% right. This is not the only case of fishermen hearing that. In fact, I've got another one where somebody heard something screaming. Something or someone, they point out. A guy named Eddie G, not Eddie V. It was a pretty good restaurant that truffles
Eddie
and
G. Yo, yo, yo.
Macaroni is and cheese is pretty good if you ever get over to Eddie V's. Anyways, a guy named Eddie G on Reddit claims that he and his cousin were out fishing at their favorite honey hole in rural Kentucky. Now, this was a spot, Cam, that they fished all the time. So they were very, very, very familiar with it and the surroundings. They knew it like the back of their hand. They said that it was a private lake. It was on private land that had belonged to a family they knew, a family friend who allowed them to fish there whenever they wanted. So this was like a spot that they went to all the time. Anyways, Eddie claims that one night him and his cousin were out fishing for about a half an hour, he said, and then it got suddenly quiet. Now, I mean really quiet. No crickets. No frogs.
The Oz effect stepping in.
No locusts, no owls, no swaying of the trees, nothing. So quiet that it became painfully noticeable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something was wrong. And him and his cousin looked at each other. And without saying a word, they both instantly knew what the other one was thinking. Like, something's wrong. This feels really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that after standing there for just a few moments, straining to hear anything, something. They just trying to hear something. The dead quiet was immediately shattered by an unbelievable scream that pierced the night. Eddie says, my cousin and I were fishing late at night. We decided to go around 9 p.m. since that's when it's the best time for us to get a little bite. We got to our favorite spot and there was nothing but the two of us, the lake, and your normal chirp chirp of some other random animal sounds, which we were used to. Well, about 30 minutes into our peaceful night of fishing, suddenly things went quiet. If you've ever gone to our spot, you know that just never happens. We didn't say anything, and we kept on with our night. But suddenly there was a loud screaming sound coming from right behind us. I turned and looked at my cousin. By this time, his face was pale, and we asked out loud at the same time, "Did you hear that?" Of course, I responded, "Yes, I did. What the hell was it?" And my cousin said, "I don't know. I've never heard anything like that before." As much as we both tried to ignore it, we kept alert. But then it passed, and after about an hour or so, we had forgotten about the incident. We didn't catch much, so we decided to pack up and call it a night. Now, when we were headed back to our truck, we started hearing rustling leaves behind us. We turned around, thinking that it probably was an animal. But there was nothing there. We kept right on, and as we were about to hop into our truck, a woman appeared right in front of us, only a few feet away. She looked dirty. She looked like she had been beaten up and had some blood stains on what seemed to be a nightgown of some sort. So we shouted, "Are you okay? Do you need any help?" And she just continued to stare at us. Then the shrieking scream we had heard before came out of her mouth. My cousin and I were petrified and nearly pissed our pants. We got into the car and drove off. We haven't gone back to our spot ever since. We've never told anyone about it, and I can still hear that scream in my head from time to time. So what the heck? An apparition of a dead woman is out there in her nightgown?
I just feel bad that were they sure it was an apparition?
I don't know.
Maybe it was an old gal that got beat up. She was just having like a meltdown. They just ran off and left her.
I don't know.
And when it comes to that point, you kind of got to grow a set and go, "Well, looks like I got to wait off in there and find out what's going on."
I want to know more about the location. I mean, they're talking about it being a private pond on a private land in Kentucky, but it doesn't tell me how rural. Yeah. Like if we're out in the middle, like say me and you were out at a private pond out, say, Eastland Breckenridge area. I mean, they're not going to be a woman just walking around in the pastures.
And if she is and she's wailing, she needs help if she's all the way out there.
I don't know, but that's creepy.
Oh, that'd be unnerving, wouldn't it?
I'm trying to think of one of the movies. Everybody knows my wife's a big horror fan. I was watching one of those movies with her years ago, and there was some kind of creepy dead woman, and she would just open her mouth, and like this insane sound would come out. That's what I'm picturing.
Sounds like our wives.
Yeah. I got another one for you. And this time, this comes from the great state of Tennessee. A guy was out night fishing with his wife and another friend when he got the urge to break off from the group to try to find a better fishing spot. And that's when it happened, Cam. He said, "I decided I wanted to check out a spot further downriver. So I left my friends and wife behind and headed off into the woods. Now I'm about 100 yards or so down the path, all alone, just me and the crickets. That's when I heard a female voice say my name. Loudly.
Say my name, say my name.
Plain as day. Like someone was standing a few feet behind me and was trying to get my attention.
Bitchel.
I turned around, naturally thinking one of the girls followed me into the woods, but nope. No one was there. I'm not really a huge believer in the supernatural or anything, but this absolutely freaked me the hell out. So I immediately headed back, and sure enough, they were still hanging out on the riverbank watching the meteor shower. There's absolutely no way I could have heard them that clearly from that far away. I told them what happened, and still to this day, they think I was just jacking around with them, trying to scare them. But I'm telling you, I experienced it. I still get the willies thinking about it, and I've never been back to that spot since. So, here's another guy in Tennessee. He didn't see the woman, didn't scream at him, but it said his name. Say it again, please.
Mitchell.
Yeah, so I mean,
say my name.
I don't know. There's a lot of strange sightings in and around the water, not just the ocean, but lakes and rivers and stuff. And don't forget one of the most famous cases, the alien abduction of Calvin Parker and Charles Hickman in the Pascagoula, Mississippi event. Remember that took place like in 1973. They were out fishing one night and they
Prior to that is whenever there was a squirrel got loose in a church down there in Pascagoula.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And that sleepy little town down there. Ray Stevens has a song about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're not familiar with that case, that was back in 1973. Calvin Parker was 19 at the time. His buddy Charles was like 42 or 43. Apparently, they were fishing in a spot where you're not supposed to be fishing. There were signs clearly posted saying no fishing here.
And guess what?
And at some point while they were fishing, they saw some crazy looking moving blue lights reflecting off the water. Instantly, they thought it was the fuzz. They're like, oh, man, it's the cops. They're going to come down here and give us a ticket for trespassing or whatever. But when they turned around, it wasn't the cops. It wasn't the law.
You break the law here, you get probed, boy.
Yeah, it was something they couldn't explain. They saw this strange-looking craft. They said they were hit by a bright light, which paralyzed them in place. They couldn't run off. They just sat there, and four of these grotesque-looking aliens came out.
Probed them.
Took them aboard their ship, performed God knows what experiments on them.
To their anus.
To pretty much all orifices. And they prodded and
deposited
poked
them back upon their vessel.
Chipped them, tagged them, right, whatever.
Tag them and bag them, boys.
And they dropped them off on the bank. And they were both shook up, understandably. Calvin, the 19-year-old, he didn't want to say anything. He was like, we can't tell anybody but this. Charles, the 42 or 43-year-old, he was like, no, man, we got to tell somebody. So he called the sheriff's office.
We got to tell everybody.
Right. The sheriff's office came down. They checked them out. They interviewed them. They went on to be hypnotized. They went on to take polygraphs. And they passed every single one
Story
of them.
Stayed the same.
Story stayed the same. So
that's what
a very famous case.
Folks, whenever you're thinking about trespassing, doing a little fishing, remember, they're watching you.
Yeah. I wonder if it's
they're going to look up inside you.
You know, you can, if you go, say, sandhill crane hunting and you knock one of those birds down, you can look sometimes and they'll be collared or
banded.
Or tagged.
They're banded. Banded.
Yeah. And there's a 24/7 hotline. You can actually call. You're supposed to report the band and they'll tell you like when that bird was banned,
where he's been,
where it was banded.
Yeah. When he was born.
I wonder if extraterrestrials are doing the same thing when they chip people or tag them. If another alien abducts that person years later, if there's not some kind of extraterrestrial hotline, they call in like, yeah,
we got him whenever he was 12.
Yeah. Zoop Zock captured him like 5 years ago when he was carp fishing.
Well, if you know anything about bird hunters, especially, let's say, not bird hunters, okay, duck hunters, you know, crane and stuff like that, but duck, geese.
Yeah.
That's what they want on their, like their lanyards that their calls are on. When you kill a banded bird, when you call in, they'll send you a certificate all about the bird. They'll put that band on their lanyards, so they wear them.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Actually, harvesting banded birds is like the highest of the high, because the idea is to band them so the government can keep up, you know, wildlife can keep up with what's going on and where they travel and how far they've been and when you've taken them. And that way they know how long they live. And, you know, they learn all about it with that little band and calling them
in. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I saw an episode of Meat Eater where Steve Rinella was sandhill crane hunting up near Lubbock. Shot one. It was banded. They called in the service. And it turned out that thing was banded like 20 years ago up in Alaska.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you look at the range of those things.
I've had my nephews shot a few banded ducks and stuff like that. I'm not a bird hunter.
I'm not much one either.
But, I mean, it would be cool to have something like that, to have
it'd
a little
be cool
like that, to harvest one. You know,
yeah, but it's time for a break. I hope everybody liked those fishing stories. I've got some more of them.
They freaked me out because I don't.
Mm-mm. You'll be thinking about it the next time you're waiting in line. But let's take a break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Yeah, I like ghost stories or strange sightings just about anywhere. If you happen to be out fishing or just in the outdoors, or I guess you could be anywhere, I guess you could be at the mall or whatever, food court. If you have a strange sighting you'd like to share with me and Cam, please send it on expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Cam?
If y'all have one at the food court, don't send it. I don't want to know that scary shit's going on at the mall, man.
I don't really hang out at the mall very much. Like, I did when I was
Liar.
Younger.
You're always at Lids and Hot Topic.
Is that even a store anymore?
She plays it off. Oh, is Hot Topic even real?
I haven't seen
I don't think
that exists anymore. I know there's still Spencer's. I haven't seen a Hot Topic in a while.
I regret the day years ago I was in a Hot Topic And they was a mechanic shirt, the button-up Dickies mechanic shirt. Uh-huh. But it had the Cobra Commander, the Cobra patch on it. And on the back had the big Cobra thing like you work for. And I didn't buy it. And I regret to this day not owning that shirt.
You could probably find it online.
You know what? I need to look for that. Because that I was like, dude, that would be cool. That'd be cool.
That'd be really cool.
I'm a big G.I. Joe fan.
Who's not?
God, that was the cartoon was great. The comic books were great. The little action figures. I don't mean the big ones. I'm talking about the little ones.
I used to love that. I think I've talked about it on the show. Like, I was so jealous of my cousin. He had the actual G.I. Joe aircraft carrier.
Yes.
Like, yep. 8 feet long.
Yep.
Man, I thought that thing was so cool. I was so jealous. I'd only get to play with him a couple months in the summer up in New Jersey. And, like, when I went home, I'd be, like, all bummed out and stuff. And I really wanted that. Because I would, like, plan my vacation. But I knew in the summertime I would go up there and stay with aunts and uncles and, mm-hmm. and grandparents and cousins and stuff. I would, like, literally pack my G.I. Joe F-14 Tomcat.
So you could land it on the aircraft.
Yeah, the Cobras, the A-10 Warthog is what it was. Yeah, I would bring all that stuff with me. Like, I had it planned out. I can't wait to get back and play with that thing.
I just went blank. Who was the guy that flew the A-10?
Oh, man, I don't remember their names.
He always had, his character had on the sunglasses.
Yeah.
Remember he had the boonie hat? What was that dude's name? Had the big red mustache. I forgot.
You could probably look it up.
I probably could, yeah.
Yeah, the toys today don't seem the same. But I'll tell you, luckily, you know, everybody knows that Luke has a fascination
with
freaking Godzilla and the Ultra Monsters and all that. Well, because of the new Godzilla movie coming out next week, which I'm sure you'll be going.
Yep,
you have to go.
I have to go, yeah.
Not so much for the movie, but to watch Luke.
That's the best thing.
I mean, he loses his mind, right? Look, there it is, Cam.
The Meg.
Oh, yeah.
The Meg was, not to mention how crazy it was whenever Kyle bought the wrong seats to start with, but yeah. Luke was like six people down from me. And he would stand up to yell to make sure I saw.
Yeah, he's big
like
on
in
that.
The middle of it, he would stand up in his seat and be like, "Uncle Cam, did you see it?" Yelling, and there's like 30 or 40 people in the theater, and I'm like, "Yeah, I see it."
Not just once, but continuously, almost the entire movie. Look, there it is again. Look, Cam,
I can't there it wait. Is.
Like you're looking at something else in the dark theater.
Yeah, I can't wait for the Godzilla's
been to be off the
I
chain.
Can't
but
wait.
Because of the movie coming out, the release, we were at Target,
if you want to be fancy. Oh, you told me about this.
And they have a new line of all the toys are out for the movie. So now I don't have to order, special order from Japan and wait the 8 to 12
Have you got
weeks.
Them hoarded where you can just give them out little at a time for like birthdays?
My wife was like, dude, we need to come back here and buy every one of them, even if we don't give them to them until Christmas. Because they're right here. Because normally, like I said.
And they're cheap now.
He's in love with these characters that he sees in the movies. But you can't buy them anywhere. You can order them off Amazon. Mm-hmm. But they literally ship them in like container boxes. And it takes 12 weeks to get here. They're not expensive. I mean,
Japan,
$6.
Man.
It's just, you can't get them. So now, finally, we're going to be able to buy them right here at the local Target. Yeah, so he was freaking out. There was Godzilla's there. King Ghidorah. Rodan. And a couple other ones. I don't know their names. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to that movie. There was something else he wanted to see. I don't remember. It's fixing to be summertime, and that's when all the really good movies come out. Have you seen any cool movies lately? I know that you like to go to
the
theaters.
I
want to
go see the John Wick. That's
right.
The one that I want to go check out.
I love those movies. I hope they don't ruin it by making too many of them. That's my only concern.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I mean, I've heard it's good.
Like,
I think it'll be good.
What was the one, the series with Liam Neeson? Taken. Like, remember when that came out? That was really good.
The first one.
I'm saying, Taken was good.
Yeah.
But then now it's Taken 2, then Taken 3. I'm like, okay, how many times can one guy's family get abducted?
Well, I watched his, now that you bring it up, I've watched his movie recently. It was for rent, Cold Pursuit.
I have not seen that.
About his son, his son gets killed or dies, and anyway, the whole deal. Then he
oh, is this
on
one where he's
rampage.
Like, they claim his son was died of an overdose,
yeah.
And he's like, oh, my son doesn't do drugs. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
I haven't seen it, but yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Eh.
It's kind of like he made that good movie, Taken, and they've tried to recreate that many times over, and I'm just like, I understand what they're doing. They're trying to make a money grab, but you can also ruin it. Like, I'm afraid they're going to ruin John Wick.
Well, the problem I have with this is the same thing that we saw whenever we were kids. We didn't know any better. Is we were Arnold Schwarzenegger fans and Sylvester Stallone fans. And then you realize, yeah, still am, that they're the same characters in every movie.
Yeah.
It's just that the same thing with Steven Seagal and Jean-Claude Van Damme, the whole deal. So you go through that, whereas now it's not as... you can't fool people like they used to. Like, look, I understand he might be a tough guy, but Liam Neeson is an older gentleman. And speaking as a fella in his mid-40s, I'm not near as tough as the dudes that I train with that are like in their mid-20s or in their mid-30s.
No.
And it's never going to be that way again.
Are you talking about like when you watch a movie and like Ruby Rose, who's like 5'2 and like 89 pounds, is just destroying people like Tate Fletcher?
Beating up John Wick.
Yet you're like, come on, man.
I'm like, look, I appreciate what you're trying to do. I do. I appreciate it. But you're like, she doesn't, there's, it's just, not, I'm not even going to get into it. It's just one of those deals. So there's, and I know I'm going to the movies. I have to just
suspend disbelief.
Yeah, I have to just throw it out. But still, it's sometimes it's hard. You know what the hardest for me is?
What?
Any movie that's archery related.
Just because it's something you do, right?
It drives me crazy. I will say this, and I haven't watched it, but I do know that there's all these different releases. And what I mean by that is like different cultures at different times in their progress of civilization had different ways they shot bows. So by that, I mean like the Mongols had different bow designs and different ways that they shot in different releases, thumb rings as compared to split finger, as compared to three under, and different releases. And so there's different ways. Like there was certain Serbian releases. There's a Serbian release that's a split finger, but the finger stays on the outside of the arrow because the arrow is not on the opposite side of the bow. It's on the outside of the bow. So there's lots of things to keep up with. So it's one of those that I'm such a dork for archery that I have to know the movie, know the era it takes place in, know the person's background, like, nope, that shoots it, and
that's
go,
not right.
He wouldn't know how to do that.
Yeah. It's because I think it's because you're close to the subject matter. I'm the same way. I'm sure everybody is. Like, I can't play guitar.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if somebody's a really good guitar player and then they watch a movie, I'm sure they're easily able to tell, like, dude, that dude ain't playing that guitar.
He ain't doing nothing.
That's not how you do that.
Yeah.
Where I'm a dummy, so I'm like, I don't know. That looks real pretty good to me.
Well, just like fight scenes. When you watch a dude get head kicked and he jumps right back up, you're like, dude, that ain't going to happen. Somebody shin kicks you in the neck, you ain't hopping right back up, player.
I like where they're like they're firing their pistol in the cab of the car, and it's like not a big deal. Oh. I'm like, dude, that would never happen.
That's you how know I how lost loud my that would hearing be? In my left ear.
But, you know, and I'm with you. If it's a movie like The Predator where it's an alien, I'm okay with it. I suspend disbelief, no problem. But when it's supposed to be like a real movie, yeah, that's when I start getting picky.
I feel bad because bring up Predator.
Oh, my dad, this week, my mom called me like on Tuesday. It was like, hey, I want to go have drinks with my girlfriend. We want to have some margaritas and stuff. Is it all right if I drop your dad off at the house? I'm like, yeah, go for it. He comes over. Guess what? Predator, the new one, is on HBO.
Did he watch it?
Oh, of course he watched it.
I'm glad. You should have sent him to my house because I watched it too. And also Predators with Adrian Brody's on there.
Yeah.
I watched it last night.
Yeah. So Luke's like trying to tell my dad, hey, Pop, you know what happens next? Do you know that the big one's coming? You know, I'm like,
yeah.
Luke, he's seen it. Pop, do you remember in Predators? And I'm like, Luke, he's seen them all. Trust me.
He's seen everyone.
He knows
it. Does Luke like the Predators also?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait. We haven't told him that. He found out that there's an Elm Street in the town we live in. And so he makes you take him down Elm Street all once a week, at least, to look for Freddy Krueger.
I'm telling you, I'm really disturbed. I nearly need to look. I wish I had some security cameras at my house because Lyle Blackburn's been to my house several times. Luke is like a little Lyle. He loves all the monsters. It doesn't matter what it is. Godzilla, Predator, dinosaurs, the Mummy. Freddy Krueger, any monster.
Are you raising Lyle's child?
I'm telling you.
We need to go see Lyle and need to take Luke.
I
to
saw
Lyle's
him the other
museum.
Day on the interstate.
Oh, yeah, you passed
I
him.
I drove by him and I was like, coming up on this. I don't want to say what kind of car he drives, but I was like,
I know
that
this
looks
dude.
Familiar. And I drove by, I'm like, yep, there he is.
We need to go and take Luke to his museum. His monster museum.
Luke would love it.
He'd go crazy.
He would.
Because that's going to be Luke.
I don't know if you've seen it in the photographs. I think Micah or somebody posted them years ago. But Lyle has a room. I'm talking a 20 by 30 room. And it's dedicated to all monsters. Like classics. Like the Wolfman.
Yeah.
You know, Dracula. All the way up into the modern, you know, Elvira.
There's Bigfoot tracks, like Bigfoot castings in there. I mean, everything.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably, collection of monster stuff. I'm sure, because he was showing me some of the really rare stuff. And it's old.
Like, there's some of the stuff that's legitimately from the 50s and 60s.
He had the original Legend of Boggy Creek movie poster, yeah. Hand-painted version, not like a print-off that you can
buy.
He
had
the original painting.
Which is awesome. And he gave it back to the family.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
When they come back, he gave it back to them. I think they put it in the museum.
Yeah, man, we need to have him on.
Yeah, we need to get him back over
here. He's a real treat to have. A wealth of knowledge. Like, the dude knows so much that he doesn't put in the books and stuff. Like, stories he shares.
If you had to guess, I would say literally in all of his books, I would say it's 30% of all the stuff that he knows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's shocking. It's just like Nick. You talk to Nick, I mean, he has so much.
You can't talk to Nick because there's nothing you can bring up Nick doesn't know.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, hey, Nick, check this out. And he's like, oh, yeah. And then he'll give you the history of it. You're like, Nick, where do you store all this?
Man, he's a working machine.
Yeah.
That's all he does.
All he needs is some Gatorade and some crisps, and he's good to go.
No, he likes, what's the PG tips? He likes the tea. He likes chips.
But the first time we met him, he was eating crisps and drinking Gatorade.
That's right.
Him and Ken.
Ken Gerhard. Yeah, that's right. We met him in a parking lot.
In Grapevine, Texas.
That's right.
And the very first thing
I remember, because he pulled up, I was like, Ken, I think that's Nick Redfern.
Yeah. We were like, there's Ken Gerhard. Yeah, and then right after that, we met Lyle, because that was the day before that's Lyle came on, and Lyle went, we ate dinner with him that night.
Yeah.
He and Sandy.
I've been slowly putting together stuff for our upcoming camping trip, collecting supplies, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and it's inspired him a little, I think, and he's starting to get into it, too. He purchased a new tent.
Nice.
He's planning on going on a big hike.
I am overly thankful, not to cut you off, but a while back when I was talking about this and I had sent out some and told everybody, send me some emails, send me some stuff on good packs.
Yeah.
And think for ultralight packs and all that. Y'all listening outdid yourself. And then I start talking about backpacking food. You did the same thing. Like, anytime we put it out, you listeners.
Do they help me out with the whetstones? I wanted to know some whetstones for sharpening blades.
A pile of emails.
Ton of emails.
I don't think all of you listening understand what y'all mean to Kyle and I. Really, I don't think you do. Like, we're embarrassed by it when people tell us how much they like the show. We enjoy it because y'all are a wealth of information that if we have any questions and stuff that we could get online too. But we're like, I also like to talk to people that I know have had experiences with certain equipment.
Yeah, because reviews,
things.
Are, you can't always believe reviews. Yeah. A lot of the companies pay people to
write
that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So whenever we ask and y'all send stuff, like, you don't realize how nice it is to have y'all there to where we're like, hey, what do y'all think about this? Next thing you know, boom, we get inundated with emails. And then we're like, awesome. And you get to go through it and read all of it and follow all the links. And next thing you know, you're 3 hours in looking at whetstones.
Yeah. So I've been, you know, I'm still up in the air. I haven't made up my mind. I don't know if I should buy a hammock, if I should go with a bivy, if I should buy a tent.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get like a kid in a candy store when I have too many options. It makes me freeze. Like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm always afraid of being happy and buying something and real proud of it. And then you get out there and then everybody's like, what are you doing, dumbass? Why'd you buy that? I should have went with this. And I'm like, oh,
I don't
man,
think there's one.
Dumb.
Yeah. There's not a be all in.
I know.
That's
I know
the problem.
I know.
You know, that's the trouble is there's always something that you have to change it up. And I think that's been the hardest thing for me over as getting older and getting all this, getting my gear. Cause I've had for my whole life always done it, but giving up on what I think's my favorite, where I have to have something different. You know what I mean? Like, you get used to carrying one thing, and then when it comes time to use it, you're like, I don't want to leave that at home. I've had some good experiences with it, but then you got to try something new. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I've been starting to put that together. I got to get a list going and start working off that list because it'll only be like less than 100 days from now. We're going to be up in the mountains of Arizona. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the taking the photos. Hopefully I can get a moonless night and maybe I can get some astrophotography going. That'll be cool. And then, of course, ultimately, I'd like to get a mule deer while I'm up there.
That'd be nice.
Yeah?
That'd be very nice.
What do you got planned for your week?
There's a lot of stuff I have going on. I'm trying to dodge around the weather that's going to be here this week for sampling. And I have to meet a fella that's coming back in that does our quarterlies. So I'll have to meet up with him. So yeah, I have a bunch of stuff planned for this week and trying to get it squared away for the Memorial Day weekend.
That's me, man. I'm just trying to wrap everything up so we can go down to the coast for a week. So I hope everybody out there has a good one. Don't work too hard. Till next time, I'm Kyle Filson. He's Kim Hale.
Peace, y'all.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.